So I heard somebody say, and I think it was Nicholas Wilton, what are you going to take from this time? What are you going to make of the, we've been given a strange situation, and what are you going to take out of it? Hi, welcome to episode 64 of Art Juice. This is honest, generous and humorous conversations to feed your creative soul and get you thinking with me, Louise Fletcher.
And me, Alice Sheridan.
So, it's been quite an uneventful week, really.
Oh, man, it's felt like at least a month, hasn't it?
Yeah, when we recorded last week, we were still not in lockdown.
Yeah.
And then we were expecting, I think you were expecting when we were recording, that London would go into lockdown.
Yeah.
And I was expecting that all people would be told they had to stay home.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden on Tuesday or Wednesday, we were all told we had to stay home.
Yeah.
And we couldn't go more than a kilometre from our house unless we were going for certain things, and quite a strange list of things that are still open in some cases, I think. Like hardware stores are apparently considered an essential.
Yeah, but you see, Robert Dias on our high street is closed, which is a problem because our shower drain is blocked. We need some drain unblocker. We've got five people in the house all washing their hair.
Oh, no. Well, they're allowed to be open, but our hardware store, which we needed for some stuff for my studio, is only allowing you to order stuff and then go and pick it up outside and they'll bring it out to you.
Yeah, that's a good solution though.
It is a good solution, but the problem is when you have a builder who absolutely refuses to do anything if he can't choose the piece of wood himself, because there's all sorts of rubbish in there. It's all warped and I don't know. I'm not taking any rubbish. I want a proper one. So he's built all sorts from wood that he already had rather than do that system. But anyway, yeah, it's all changed. And I feel like, and I know this is going on around the world to different degrees, I feel like we're on like warp speed adaptation.
Yes.
Like we're constantly adapting to something new.
I think that's why it's so tiring.
Yeah.
Because, you know, our brains just can't keep up with it because we don't know what it is we're supposed to do. You know, there is a threat, but it's not a normal visible threat that we can see. So we're kind of a little bit on edge, but also trying to be relaxed. And we've got loads of time and we've got a million extra things to do and loads of people. And it's just the whole thing. It's just you can't square it. I'm sleeping like a crazy thing. I'm having weird dreams for the first time in a very long time, which I think is a way of bizarrely processing things.
Yeah. But yeah. I'm sleeping well. I am going like crashed out and then. Because it is just so tiring to keep going. Or what you know? And we haven't ever had to think about going on a hunt for milk or toilet rolls or trying to feed our families and make sure people haven't had to worry about that before. And we still really don't. I mean,
no,
we're there's plenty of food, and I don't mean to make it sound really bad, but there isn't plenty of toilet rolls, and that's going to become a problem.
No, they're kind of no panic, they'll come back with toilet rolls. They don't seem to be re-emerging at the moment, but
no. So yes, what have you been doing this week? I've been driving around looking for toilet rolls.
No, you haven't.
To no avail.
No, you haven't. You've been filling holes in your wall and thinking about your sketchbook thing.
Yeah. I have actually spent some time doing. I did yesterday. Spent some time doing some physical work, which is not hard physical work, but I was like doing a bit of painting, putting some polyfiller in, scraping it out. And then at the end of the day, I was doing hard physical labor when the builder needed to move his digger back to his house. And I didn't realize most little diggers don't drive. They get towed places.
Oh.
And so it's a big palaver to get it off our garden and on a sloping drive.
Yeah.
And our drive slopes downwards to my neighbor's house, and he's just bought a brand new gleaming blue Range Rover.
Uh-oh.
And Andy said to me, can you shut that gate his gate, which is just a wooden gate, and he said, because if this thing goes down there, it's going straight into his
I tell you what though, if it rolls straight down a hill, a wooden gate wouldn't stop it either.
So he was like, hold on, hold it, push against it. And that was just this great big heavy thing. Anyway, I've woken up with muscle pains everywhere where
did you video that just in case?
No, I didn't.
Probably a good thing. That might have been tempting fate.
So what about you? What have you been up to?
Well, I've mainly been feeding my family out of date food. Not because it's the only thing that we've got left, but because I had a really good cupboard sort out and brought out all the old dregs and put it all back so that I knew what was in there so we could kind of plan meals. And then I've had all these things that I've thought, you know, how is this? Now, your choice is, do you save the really old food till right at the end? Well, I don't know. When I'm kind of draining my cupboard, I want to find good things right at the end, nice little surprises. So I thought, no, we're going to work our way through the old stuff that seems to be okay first. So we started with a tin of peaches from 2011. That was good. They were fine.
Yeah.
We've had bread with flour that's 2 years out of date. That's fine. And the winner so far is, without a doubt, macaroons with desiccated coconut from 2017. And they are the easiest thing. The recipe, I did it on my Instagram stories, but it's basically 2 egg whites, 100 grams of desiccated coconut, 100 grams of caster sugar, a tablespoon of flour and a bit of vanilla essence. If you've got it, you mix it up, you put it in little mounds, you put it on a baking tray in the oven for 15 minutes. And they are the most delicious, chewy, lovely. Oh, they were just heavenly. They went. That made 10 decent sized ones. So we had 2 each and they went, and I've got requests for more today. So desiccated coconut from 2017 is good. So that's my top tip for the week.
That's good to know, because I traded my mum 2 bags of out of date flour because she wants this whole wheat flour, and I found some in my cupboard. One from 2013.
Yeah.
And one from 2015.
Yeah.
And she said, well, if they're not crawling when I open them with flour mites, then they'll be fine. So she took those and she said, I'll swap you this. And she brought 2 bags of out-of-date whole wheat pasta, which she had because she feeds her partner's grandkids. And they eat pasta, but my mum doesn't. So she brought, they were from 2015, these bags of pasta.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at them like, are these okay? I don't know. It's gone a little bit white on the ends of the, but. What can go wrong?
We had old pasta yesterday made into pasta salad, and I think that was 2015, and it was fine.
Was it? Okay, yeah. Well, I'm going to give it a go then.
Yeah. I mean, I think with tinned things, if the tin is dented or you open it and it's black or fermented, then yeah, I'd probably avoid that.
Yeah. But my mum said, oh, this is just like my grandma, because she was from the wartime era. She would always say, if it's not crawling and it's not green, we can eat it. So
have a little taste. We did discover we had a smoked Stilton that somebody gave us at Christmas. Now, you know, it's blue cheese, you know, it's full of rank mold anyway, but actually smoked blue cheese, that's, it was so strong. I was like, I can't eat this. This is.
Yeah.
But my dad took it. we left it on the doorstep in a little bag, and he came round and picked it up. So yeah, I think, I mean, it's good. It's resourceful, isn't it? You know, it's a good, it's, that's creative, which is what we're going to talk about today, right?
So what we thought would be interesting to talk about this week is exactly that. Ways we're finding to be creative when things have changed. So for some of us, for many of us, people who have outside studios can't get necessarily to those places anymore and are having to work in the house. And even if you do have your studio in your house, perhaps you have your kids there now, perhaps everything's changed. And I also was saying to my membership group on Monday that we're not the same people that we were when we started the work that we've got halfway through. No. So 2 weeks ago, I was a different person thinking different thoughts. So the paintings that I've got halfway through are not relevant to me anymore. I'm looking at them thinking, I just don't feel like working on those. So how we thought it'd be interesting to just talk about different ways that we're finding to be creative in this time. And does it even have to be arty?
No, I don't think it does have to be arty. And I think that's part of what I was saying, you know, with the food and thinking about how you're living at home. I think we have actually a certain, well, we probably don't have a certain brain capacity. There's not a percentage limit on it. But I think it's creative thought is tiring because it's new. It's a new response to a challenge. Like every time we create something, you're basically creating a challenge situation for yourself and resolving it. Mm-hmm. So you have that challenge resolve, challenge resolution, and it does take brain power. And I think that's tiring. And I think actually at the moment, we are using some of that up in other ways. And I've certainly noticed that in that sense, my desire for doing anything that I would normally classify as creative is less. Mm-hmm. But it's also an important part of me and one that I know I can't let slide. Or if I do let slide, I think I will pay the price for it later.
And I think it will come back. Like I'm looking at these big pieces and thinking, I just have no interest in those at the moment.
Yeah.
Besides anything else, throwing lots of paint around feels self-indulgent if I don't know when I can get some more, like, not self-indulgent, but indulgent. Like maybe I want to be more cautious with things. But I have found that I've wanted to do things really small and I haven't had a lot of time for this. I've maybe spent in the last week 6 hours doing creative stuff, but they've been such happy time because once I get immersed, and what I've discovered about myself is in a time when I'm really stressed, like I have been, not anxious, giving myself some parameters or some rules about what to do is really helpful, because then it's a problem solving, but it's on a really small and a really small scale, and it's not important. And what I mean by that is I'm not thinking about making brilliant art.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking about solving a little problem. And so the problem I gave myself was, I'm going to work on these small pieces on paper, and I can only use two colors and black and white, but I can use any media within that. And I want to use collage.
Right.
And then the way I approached it was to, on one of the days was to stick something down on the piece of paper, anything, rip something off. I've got all sorts of bits of newspapers and patterns and all sorts. Rip something up, stick it down, and then I have to do something to respond to that. I have to stick something else down, and then I have to make it a decent composition out of whatever I've stuck down. That was one day. And then the other day was I just worked on these small pieces in that limited palette, allowing myself, and I told myself, you can have one line, two dabs of paint or ink I was using, two pieces of collage, and you have to, and three scribbles of pencil. And then within that, you have to make as many different things as you can.
Yeah.
That was good fun, because it's amazing within that parameter how many different things you can make. So you get this little series of really of things that are all cohesive.
So are you doing that on separate sheets of paper or in a sketchbook?
The way at both. So I did some in a little sketchbook, some collaging in there, but then the pages always stick together and it gets annoying. Yeah. One of my favorite things to do is take a big sheet of paper, tape it into smaller squares, work on it as a big sheet, and then cut them down and then resolve from that. So now I've got these little pieces that were taped off with masking tape and they've become little pieces, but they're not right on their own. So what can I do to fix them? So it's all this little playing stuff. And because there's no upcoming exhibition or anything to show them in,
you can do anything.
I can do anything. And they're just piling up. And I keep thinking, oh, these are really nice. Should I bind them into a sketchbook and just keep them all together? Should I save them and mount them in the future? And, you know, I don't know. And maybe they'll all become one big piece that I'll put.
But I think this is a huge thing at the moment. This, what's it going to be? How do we, you know, particularly at the moment, you've got to, you know, feeling like you've got to find an answer to what they're going to be. We've got to lift the pressure off.
Yes. And actually,
and I think that's a nice side effect, actually, is that, you know, anytime those kind of thoughts, and it happens to me too, I think, how should I be doing this? Should I do a series of work on paper? And like, I just have to keep reminding myself, don't worry about what the end of it is going to be. Just don't worry. Yeah. And, you know, it will be what it's going to be. And it's been amazing to see how many people online have, you know, they've jumped into offering all sorts of kind of things and challenges. And I haven't felt a pull really to do any of those yet. And B, I haven't felt a pull to offer any, because I'm in the situation at the moment where, you know, I've just been coping. And, you know, when I say coping, I mean coping with a new situation, coping with physical reality of people being at home in the situation, you know, looking after myself and looking after the people I'm already in close contact with. So, you know, the people in my membership group, we've introduced a number of different things to keep everybody together and supported in that. And that has meant a big extra workload, every day of the week. But within that, you know, yesterday we had a co-creating session where everybody got together. We could all see each other, which I think is really important on Zoom. So not just live streaming, but seeing each other. And it was so lovely. At one point in the evening session, so people could chat when they wanted or not when they didn't. And I could hear outside Beck's window in Australia, two wood pigeons singing. And somebody else washing their brush in water.
Mm-mm.
And it was just the most beautiful, calm, peaceful. And everybody was just sitting, working on their work together and kind of going, this is weird. What's this going to be? And at the end of it, everyone was like, I feel calmer now than I felt in the last 2 weeks, because it's just that stillness. And doing all of that, working out how we do that logistically, that's taken up kind of time and coordination and speaking with somebody else as well. So,
yeah.
But I just think we're all going to have needs and pulls and yearnings at different times. And there will be times where you think, you know, doing something creative is totally the answer for me today. And there will be times where you think, I'm going to stay in my pajamas and not do much today. And times where you think, I'm never going to paint another painting in my life. But it won't, none of it will stay in that position. None of it.
Yeah.
Constant change.
I really can't have that thought. I'm never going to do it again in my life. Not having had this massive thing built in my garden. That would be really bad if I suddenly decided, right, no more painting.
No, but I bet you've had the thought. I bet you've had the thought, how relevant is this?
Yes, I have.
Because this is pretty interesting, isn't it? You know, how we've had to reevaluate everything on a priority scale, and where does art fit in that? I think is really fascinating, because it's either completely irrelevant or absolutely essential.
Yeah, and initially my thought was, and I tried to explain this to my husband and to the guy who's building it, that it feels out of place. I was trying to find the words to say, this feels like really weird now.
Yeah.
Not that I'm not grateful that I'm going to have it and all of that, but it just feels like too much of a luxury in this time, especially when, you know, like everybody, my income is affected or going to be affected by it. And so you think, oh my God, what have I done?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just for painting. It's just for enjoying myself.
You just bought a new car.
Yeah. And I was about to, thankfully I didn't, but I was about to, because one of ours is about to croak. But anyway, now I think about it differently though. So now, as if it's, you know, that's what you said, it feels like a month. Yeah. A few days later, I've gone through all the adjustment, and I really feel like it's one of the most important things is bearing witness to what's happening. And that's what artists do. We take in what's happening. We digest it, and then we kind of, this is a horrible word, we regurgitate it in another way. I'm sure there's a better way of saying that. For people to see their own experiences in what we've created. And that's whether you're a writer or a painter, or that's what art does. And at a time like this, it's so important. If you look at the newspapers or the television, it's like screaming panic. That's all there is. Panic, panic. Oh my God, everyone's going to die. And that's not the reality of anybody's life at the moment. That's the reality of some of very sad, poor minority of people. That's the reality for them. But for most of us, that's not the reality. So art, I think, is there to help us understand our own reality, help us understand our feelings, help us find our place in the world. And I'm not expressing any of this very well, but I think as artists, we are so important at this time.
And I think that you know, there will be a time where we will come out of this. And I don't know if you ever had this feeling. We're rubbish at birthdays in our house, right? Off tangent, go with it, everybody. This is just where I'm going, but it will link back. So we're rubbish at birthdays. Don't generally make a big deal of them. We're all kind of okay with it. But often, you know, we have a birthday coming up or a thing coming up and we think, is there anything you want? No, not really. And then the time passes or the day breaks and I think, oh, I wish I'd made more of that. I wish I'd done more to kind of mark it or celebrate it. Or I know it's not a big deal. And I know that, you know, if my daughter wants something, we can have it at another time when it's appropriate. But actually, there are times that do need recognition. Mm. And I'm just wondering that, you know, that this is kind of like that. And we had an idea earlier in the week. You reached out to me and said, I've got an idea for something. And as we talk, it evolved. Mm. And I think that it was really good because it kind of crystallized my thinking on this as well. And it ties in with the birthday thing that we can get kind of caught up with the everyday and feel that something isn't special. And then kind of regret that we didn't do something afterwards. Now, my brother said the other day, I'm going to come out of this speaking French. Okay, that's a good aim. I've seen people do all sorts of amazing, you know, I'm going to do the Davina McCall. And I said, you better post a before and after picture of those abs if you're going to be doing that program. But I've also been talking to the family. I said to my son, who's studying economics and sociology, I said, you should be keeping some kind of diary on this because this has never been seen before and hopefully never will be again. Even if there is a recurrence of this, we will now have this experience to help us.
Yeah.
But this, now, what we're all doing is totally new. And it needs marking. I want to have a way, and I don't know what that is yet. I don't know if I want to do a series of work or if I want to keep a written diary. And I feel like I'm just on that brink. I'm just on the brink of making that time switch of feeling like my brain's in lockdown. I'm dealing with what's being thrown at me to, okay, so what does this actually mean?
Yeah.
Blurt.
Yeah. So, I mean, I totally agree. You know, I do, because we talked about it. I originally, my original thought was, so I heard somebody saying, I think it was Nicholas Wilton, what are you going to take from this time? What are you going to make of the, we've been given a strange situation and what are you going to take out of it? That was the first seed. And then somebody in your membership group said something about, I'll get the wording wrong, but she said, I'm not thinking of this as being trapped in the house. I've decided to be an artist in residence in my own house. And she said it like a lighthearted comment. And in the next day or so, those two things percolated into this thought I had that, wouldn't it be great if we had like an artist in residence program for everyone. Everyone could join and everyone could become an artist in residence in their own house. And then we talked, and then you were coming at it from the different perspective of the marking the time, you know, keeping a record almost in whatever way you want to do that, but making, and those two ideas have started to meld together. And I say started to, because we're still kind of fishing our way through what we think this would be. But I just think it would be, well, we both think it would just be brilliant to get everybody together to make the time special for them, to bring something positive out of it for them, but also to bring something positive out of it for anybody else who wants to look at artwork, because we can bring us, we can do what artists are supposed to do and give perspective and insight and share emotion and communicate ideas. That's what we're there for.
Yeah, and I think it's not even necessarily as artists. I don't think it even needs to be. I mean, the art role is important, but it's also us as, you know, humanity, how we're responding, how you're reacting. I mean, when we talked the other day, the word I wrote down and have underlined and overlined is, you know, historic. This is historic. And I think, you know, we have a position here with those of you who listen to this to do something together. And what we've been trying to work out is how that looks, how we can manage it. You know, Louise and I are both busy already supporting people. And, you know, we've been toing and froing about how this could work and how we can physically manage it, because we hope this will be huge. We hope this will be a worldwide sharing and a way that people can use this so that it really becomes a historic record. And we don't know quite how that looks yet.
But we do have a name for it, and we do have kind of an outline. And the name was Alice's idea, which is a brilliant name. She just said it in conversation. She said, I think we need to mark this time.
Yeah.
And then we were like, oh, mark this time. That's what it needs to be called. So as far as we've progressed with our idea is to buy a domain names and set up an empty Facebook page and an email account and Instagram. And maybe by the time you're listening to this, we'll have progressed further, because we do tend to go at the speed of light with these things.
I think we have to go at the speed of light. Like one of the things we were talking about yesterday, Lou, you said to me, this is going to take some time to put together and we need to be able to tell people what it is clearly in 2 weeks. And I'm like, we can't wait. 2 weeks ago, we were all living practically normal lives. Like, we have no choice but to go at the speed of light of this. So we've got to start with what we've got now and follow the momentum. And we want you to help us.
Yeah.
So we want to start using, we're going to start using the hashtag MarkThisTime on Instagram. And the idea is that we will daily collate and share those. So we want you to use it when you feel you're doing anything creative in response to the situation we're in. Now that can be writing, it can be music, it can be art, it can be a specific project you're doing, it can be how your normal creative life has been changed, how you're adapting. Please only use it on things where it's relevant. So that when people search for this, they see this cross-section. And then we're going to be collating those into a new Instagram account. Have we got an Instagram account yet?
No, that's the last thing I have to do after we get off here. We will
Which we'll do. And it's going to be going on a public Facebook page. And we are also going to be starting a new website, which will not be ready at the beginning of this. But the idea is that that website becomes a public place where anybody can go see what artists are doing, see what people are doing in response, and that will stay. We might need to ask you guys for some help on this.
Yeah.
We might need to be asking for volunteers to help collate, to suggest things. We don't know yet what that is, but we really hope that you will be behind us on this and that you think it's a good idea. If you think we're barking totally up the wrong tree, let us know and we won't bother.
Yeah, because we said to each, I said, you know, if somebody told me there was like, I could do an artist in residence program in my home for the next few months and do it in a community with other people, I would jump at that. And you said you would too. But yeah. I don't know if that's just us two or if other people would be like, because it's easy to say to yourself, I'm going to be the artist in residence in Lothersdale and I'm going to, you know, go out for a walk every day. This is me and do a sketch and then I'm going to put them all together into something. But if I say that and I'm just on my own, I know what will happen. A week and a half in, I'll drift onto other things and forget it. If I'm in a group with accountability, and as we say, we don't quite know what that looks like yet, but there will be the option for people to be in a group with accountability. And whatever this looks like, we will not be, this is not a business venture. So we just want to say that up front. We're not talking about a business venture for us to make any money. We're talking about something that hopefully can inspire and encourage and cheer up and commiserate and whatever it is that we're all going through, because every single human going through this, I think, is going through a similar experience. We're having good days and bad days, we're having panic attacks and then calming down, we're struggling with, and we're also experiencing this, slightly getting off topic I suppose, but I'm experiencing this huge retrospective gratitude. It's like, oh, I'm so grateful for all those things I had which have gone away, like toilet paper and pasta, you know, oh, how wonderful those were, or my dog's daycare, or the cleaners who come in, or, you know, all sorts of things that have gone. So it might be gratitude. And one artist might make a gratitude thing one time and I'm so depressed, I hate this thing the next day, because that's the human experience, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we would not be able to, on the Facebook page and Instagram and website, I presume we will curate and select things, because we couldn't, hopefully this will get so big that we couldn't put everything on there.
Yeah.
But the Instagram hashtag will be a place that anybody can visit anytime as well. So we'll have, I hope the blog or the website will become this place where you go on and you see a painting or a sketch or something and it says, you know, I'm in Florence and this is what I made today and this is why, or something like that, so that there's a little, people have written a little blurb and we will be pulling that from the Instagram hashtags, won't we?
Yep.
So really, when you post your stuff on Instagram with that hashtag, some little explanation would be fantastic. Just who you are, where you are, and why you made what you made would really help that website to then be informative. And you know, and I don't even know, I was thinking, well, I'm probably jumping ahead, but if there's a website,
surely not, go on.
If there's a website of people's artwork on it, and if we get publicity for this and people start visiting this website, then I would imagine that's an opportunity for people too, because people will get emails saying, can I buy that painting that I saw on the, or that drawing that I saw.
And we'll be able to share links back to you always when we're using it. So I guess that's the other thing. If you use that hashtag, you're giving us approval to be able to reshare it.
Yes.
Publicly. The other thing that we thought that would be nice to have is other interviews with artists. Anyway, we've got lots of things that we can pitch into this, but
we have to be careful not to overwhelm ourselves with too much work. We do. But Alice has got big ambitions for the artist. She wants to come in and talk to us. So stay tuned.
Yeah. I'm going to be being...
Think big.
Brave on this.
Yeah.
I think it's to be truly representative, it has to be big. So this is where we need your help to share this. We really need you. So by the time this goes out, we will have posts on our Instagram account that you can share. Start using the hashtag, talking about it. You know,
you'll have a Facebook page that you can invite people.
Can I use my really bad pun?
Yeah, go on.
This needs to go viral. Sorry, I can't resist.
Oh, somebody's going to write it now.
Oh, But that's another important thing. That's another important thing. We have to have humor in this too. Yes. Like, I want funny cartoons. I want, you know, weevils in flour cookie recipes drawn out. You know, this has got to be broad. This has got to be, you know, how you're stretching yourselves. It's the whole kind of mental capacity of creativity and artists and our response and our approach. Is it too early to read your manifesto?
No, go ahead. I can't I wrote this on my phone at midnight, so it could be garbled, and I had had wine.
Right. So warning, the way we do things is we send each other a message and say, I've had a brain fart idea. What do you think? And then we start a Slack channel, and then we start a Google document where we just start dumping ideas in. And so I started an idea dump, and Louise looked at it and went, oh, wow, you've done a lot here. And I said, okay, well, let's sleep on it overnight. And overnight, I woke up and she had written this, and I think it is word for word perfect. We are experiencing an unprecedented situation. Actually, no, do you know what? I'm not going to read this. I'm going to, when this is out, we will have somewhere to post this. This will be on the Facebook page for it. So the Facebook page is Mark This Time. The website is going to be markthistime.com. That may not be in existence yet. And the hashtag is Mark This Time. Hashtag Mark This Time. And we will both be sharing this by the time this goes out. So we will write this in full. And at the moment, we can't tell where this is going to end, where it's going to lead, or what it can grow into. We're going to leave it there for now, aren't we?
Yeah, I think that's good.
Okay, so what's inspired this week? This is interesting, isn't it? Because it's kind of everything and nothing. It would be very hard pushed to find one particular thing, but I think just watching, and this is such this is where I think there's a kind of revolution in this a little bit. You know, we've discussed this before, how you know, creativity is being squeezed out of school curriculums, and now all of that has changed. And watching how people respond, how quickly people come up with new ways of thinking, new ways of doing things, how they introduce humor, how people reach out and support each other. That is really, truly inspiring, I think. And, you know, there has been a race, and, you know, maybe we're racing too, but I think this recognition that times have changed, I really hope we don't forget it.
Yeah.
There's some magic things happening. You know, there are some really magic things happening. And that's pretty good. And I think we mustn't lose track of the fact that, as you said earlier, everything that we're going through now is to, you know, support people who will be dealing with the sharp end of this. But most of us won't be. Most of us are dealing with the fallout rather than actually the threat that this poses. And I think that as well will have other repercussions, but we'll come through it. We'll come out of it, because the ingenuity of humans is amazing.
Yeah. I've really loved, actually, mine this week would be seeing particularly musicians I've seen on Facebook or Twitter or wherever come on and play a song and give a little message, you know, and really famous people. And my favorite one was Neil Diamond. When I was a kid, my mum and my dad were mad on Neil Diamond. So whenever we got in the car, I just heard Neil Diamond. And I still have a soft spot for Neil Diamond because of that childhood memories. And he came on, and to be honest, I thought Neil Diamond had died. So I was really surprised because he looked quite healthy. And he came on and he sang Sweet Caroline with an acoustic guitar. But he said, we're all on our own at the moment. Or if you're on your own, sing along with me to this song. And I'm getting teary even telling you, because when I started singing it, I got really teary at just the thought of, oh, he just thought to get his guitar out and say, let's have a sing-along.
Yeah.
And there'll be other people. I was thinking, I was sitting in the bedroom because I was still getting up. I was thinking there'll be other people feeling a bit daft sitting there singing Sweet Caroline to themselves. But the words of that are quite good, because the lyric says good times never felt so good.
Yeah.
And you know, that whole thing about realizing how good you had things until things change. So I think that's been mine. And I think Chris Martin was doing a concert where you could request music from him, and Paul Simon came on and did some songs. And
yeah, I did see yesterday Rick Astley and Gary Barlow singing a kind of karaoke together. And it was quite reassuring that they both sounded a bit karaoke-ish. I kind of thought, oh, here we go, we're going to have these lovely voices. And then they started, and okay, you know, they can hold a tune, but without all the everything, it just sounded like two blokes singing.
And everybody who's not English is thinking, who's Rick Astley and Gary Barlow?
You'll have to Google it. Rick Astley has been totally absent from the world. He was a kind of not a one-hit wonder. He was he was huge when I was, what, 16, 17, like that, maybe even younger. And he basically took a huge back step. I think he's been raising his children and, you know, with his wife. And then about 2 years ago, he kind of came back, and there's been a little bit of Rick Astley resurgence. Not for me, but...
No, not for me either, but he's super inspiring, actually, to finish this inspiration section, because I heard him interviewed and he said he lost all his fans. He was making music in his garage for himself, but he had a few fans left online. And one day he just suddenly woke up when he was 50, he was going to be 50, and he woke up and thought, I want to make an album. So he went to his little forum where he had a few fans left, and he asked, would anyone like to buy this if I made an album? And they all said yes. So he went in his garage and he played everything himself, drums, guitars, everything, did the singing, wrote the songs, produced it, put it out, and it
now got... You're sounding like that Little Britain track that goes bang the theme tune, play the theme tune.
Yeah, exactly. And then it got picked up on Radio 2, which is a big national radio station here, and it became, he got a hit. And he was saying, he said, I feel like I just was given this massive new lease of life that I was never expecting. And he was touring to big audiences, and he had a second album after that. That's just amazing. You know, and he did not expect that. He just thought this was for fun.
There you go. Resurgence.
Yeah.
Nice story of resurgence. So we hope you are all happy at home, finding ways to cope, finding ways to make yourself feel good and okay, and, you know, looking after people around you. And
and we also hope you haven't all killed your husbands by now, or wives, because that's quite possible in these circumstances. Try not to do that.
And who knows what will happen. We hope we will see you next week at the normal time, but if there's any other brain blurts, we might go off schedule. But at the moment, we will see you again next Tuesday, and come over and find me on Instagram at Alice Sheridan Studio.
And me at LouiseFletcher_art. And look for the hashtag.
Mark this time. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I nearly burnt a frying pan the other day. I'd half put things on to cook. And I'd done that thing where you turn the heat up. And, you know, when you turn the heat on to boil water, and then I just put the heat on under the frying pan and put oil in. And then I was at the kitchen table working on something else, and Paul came into the kitchen. He was like, this is smoking quite bad.
I had a mini meltdown yesterday evening because I was making... dinner just after we'd had our discussion about this idea, and I had a list of things to do, but I was also making dinner, and I was making something really basic. It should have been straightforward, but I was burning everything, and it was just like I was making veggie burgers. We're vegetarians, so this is really nice veggie burgers. And Phil likes his like a cheeseburger with cheese on the bun. So I grilled his cheese on the bun twice and burnt it to a crisp, so that the kitchen stank. And it was so bad I had to throw it away. So I was annoyed at wasting bread. I was annoyed at myself. And this is what I do. And he's just like, he said, well, I'm sorry, I was just coming in for my dinner. And I said, yes, you were just coming in for your dinner. Now look what...
Yeah, and everybody just arriving at 1 o'clock and going, is it lunchtime? And I'm like, yeah, I've been bloody making it. But yeah, our toaster is rubbish. And Amy's right. We should have replaced it ages ago because it toasts one side of the bread and not the other. And you just can't get the setting right. You know, it's either... I tend to do it on the low setting, and then you have to put it down twice, because if you turn up, it just burns the toast. And then, but like you say, at the moment, you burn a piece of toast, you're thinking, I've wasted a piece of bread.
Yeah.
Can't waste bread. You know,
don't want to go out
the scraping thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, there is bread, but we're not supposed to go out if we don't have to, and we're not supposed to keep the chances of infection down. I'm trying not to go shopping. But it's that's not possible. You cannot live for a week on 3 bottles of wine. I'm sorry, it's just not feasible.
I'm already on the whiskey.
He said, I've got 2 bottles of whiskey in the back of the cupboard, so I'll be fine.
Yeah, and then talking about back of cupboard stuff, we'll be drinking all those weird liqueurs that people. Yeah. You can mix those with your out-of-date dried fruits.
Yeah.
There you go. And then you can make a cake with your out-of-date flour and your flat cake with no eggs. But that's good.
Yeah, and no yeast. You said you were making bread. I can't get yeast. I haven't been able to get yeast for weeks.
Oh, we had some yeast, but we've only got 6 packets, so that's 6 loaves of bread.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're all good.